Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to expound verses 7 through 11. And before we get to the screen, have you ever wondered, saints, maybe when you were a child, maybe when you were a teenager, maybe as a young adult, and for some of you, maybe now in your golden years. But the question ever came to you is, what's my purpose, God? Why did you create me, God? What do you expect of me? I know I'm not a coincidence. I know I'm not a mistake. I made it past the abortion mills, which are prevalent in our land today. But what is it about man that you inquire of us, that you expect of us? And now, even as a child of God, we're going to see through the Word of God exactly his purpose. Amen. For his, listen, he doesn't keep us in the dark. I hope you know that. He wants to enlighten you. He wants to fill you with knowledge and wisdom. He wants to empower you. He wants to let you know that before the foundation of the world, he already knew you and what he has in store for you. What does Jeremiah 17:11 says? The thoughts that I have toward you are what?
Wicked.
Are good. The thoughts I have for you are good.
Isn't that Jeremiah 29?
Yeah.
17.
Yeah.
To
prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. That's right. Let me just say this. I am seeing this in real time, God's plan for your lives. But I want to see what the Word of God says about it. Amen? So, let's get there now. And let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. If you have your cell phones, put them on the off and silent position, please. I've entitled this morning's message, God's Purpose for Our Lives. Turn to your neighbor and let your neighbor know God has a purpose for you. And say one more thing. He did not make a mistake about you. There's no mistakes here. Can I get an amen? That's right. You don't look like 30 no more, but you still don't have a mistake. You don't look like you're 15 no more, but you're not a mistake. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to the Word. 1 Peter, here we go. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. And it reads, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." Okay, so if all things are coming to an end, we're our coming end to the church age, then God is saying to be serious and be watchful in your prayers. This is going to be one of the key elements to our life. If you have a prayerless life, you have a powerless life. Did you hear that? If you're not in prayer, you have no power. Because that's where the power comes from, through prayer. Through prayer. It don't come through osmosis. You do not plug yourself into the wall and wait for the Holy Spirit to ignite you. No, it's birthed through prayer, laboring before God. Hallelujah. Seeking for His presence, wanting more of Him. And guess what? He won't hold back from you. But you got to seek Him. Look at this. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. That's one of the things I was hoping the pastor would have told Mark over Ariana. Is that love covers a multitude of sins. So in other words, he doesn't see any error in her. I don't see no error in my wife. Why? Because my love covers all her shortcomings. So she's perfect to me. There's nothing to bicker about, nothing to pick on. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. These are things that a lot of times they don't come naturally. You have to say, God, empower me, strengthen me, that I can operate in this manner. Because these are kingdom principles. Amen. The world doesn't do this. The world is opposite. The world will tear you apart, pick you apart. Look at verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. We are to speak the things of God now. As a believer, what comes out of our mouth should be something godly, edifying, building up. Can I get amen? Never to tear down. If you're around a Christian and all they want to do is tear you down, don't hang out with them. I don't want to hang out with you. I remember what Bishop Trout said, Father Trout. He goes, you want to be blessed? Hang out with blessed people. You want to be blessed? Hang out with blessed people. Why? Because they'll build you up. They won't tear you down. They'll be kind to you. They'll love you. You could trust them. If anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let them do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And then he says, amen. And so you need to understand, saints, that we are a people of purpose. People of purpose. And that perfect purpose, it's called the will of God. Remember this, the will of God. Doing the will of God is what God sees people like you and I fulfilling His purpose. It's fulfilling the will of God. So in this message, we're going to point out several purposes of the Christian walk and learning, saints of God, to live our lives according to God's word. If you follow the blueprint that's laid out in the word, you cannot fail. But if you are reading a manual from the world, you will crash and burn. God's word will not fail you. It's fail-proof. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, what is the first thing that we read in Peter? Be watchful in prayers, right? So number one, you and I, we need to be a people of prayer. You want the power of God to live in you? You need prayer, a prayer life, seeking Him. Man, I'm telling you, there are times where you're praying, I'm just praying. I go back there and I pray, So a lot of times she's thinking, I'm watching TV, I turn it off, and I'm sitting there saying, God, I want your presence to be upon me. I need to hear from you, God. And boom, there he is. He's right there, igniting me. And let me just say this. When that happens, you know without a shadow of a doubt, he's having intimacy with you. And he's speaking to your spirit. He's giving you ears to hear and eyes to see. You hear his voice. And so we read this, but we'll read it again in 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, Jesus had a difficult time with his apostles. He constantly had to go to them when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It was right before they were going to apprehend him illegally. It was during the nighttime. It was on the Mount of Olives. And we've been to the Garden of Gethsemane several times. Big olive trees. There's a couple of olive trees that are over 2,000 years old, still alive, bearing fruit. Times of Jesus. Oh, yes. And they leave those trees alone. Some old, big old trunks. 2,000 years old, times of Christ. And when we would go there as a group, our pastor would tell us, go find a tree. Go two by twos. There's groves of them in there. Just find a tree and go and pray and seek God's face. And then come back and tell us what God said to you, because he speaks to us individually. Amen? And so, but Jesus had a hard time. He had a hard time with them. Let's read this story. We're going to see this in Matthew 26. Look at that, in Matthew 26, 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, hey, sit here, and I go, and I pray over there. Simple instructions, right? Verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and they began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Why? Because he knew he had to come to the cross. Remember, there were a couple of times he would say, Father, if it would be your will, take this cup from me. But then he would say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Anytime that God has you going through a trial, you're going through something that's horrific, how do you respond to God? Oh God, let your perfect will be done, God. Help me see this. Help me see this. Help me through this, God. A lot of times we want immediate healing or deliverance. God say, I've allowed this so that you can seek me. Because you know how we roll. We only come to him when we're hurt, when we need him. You don't come to him when you got money in your pocket, everything's going well, life is going good. But man, when things start falling out of the bag, we're going to run to him, aren't we? Look at this in verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will. So there you see, he deferred it back to God. A lot of times, we cannot do this all by ourselves. Can I get amen? Amen. You got to give it back to God. Say, here, God, I'm giving this to you. You remember that old program? Some of you probably don't remember. Father Knows Best.
Yeah, sure do.
You remember Father Knows Best. For some of you, it just went right like this. It was, he played Marcus Welby.
Yeah. Robert.
Yeah. Let's go to verse 40. Look at this. Then he came to the disciples and found them what? I'm going to say this in a loving way. There are times I've been preaching here 17 years in a couple of different places, but, you know, just preaching over the pulpit. I'll look across and I'll see some folks like this. And when I read this, I know why. I know why. You know why? Because the flesh is weak. The Spirit's willing. The Spirit said, yeah, Lord, I'll go with you. Let's go. And then... Look at this. He came to the disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I preach here just 1 hour. That's it. Look at this. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. They're like, Verse 44. So he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. You know, God just showed me a picture right now. Not on my notes. He came to them one more time, right? And they were what? Sleeping. Well, God just showed me the rapture is about to take place and there are people sleeping. They're not watching. They don't believe he's coming. They don't believe he's coming. I'm just going to stay asleep. I'm just going to keep on doing my thing. My goodness. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Because God put it in the Word for us to be aware of what takes place with us. Because we're feeble. We're weak. Our flesh is weak. That's why we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at in Romans 12:1 up here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Holy, living holy. You know, living holy doesn't mean living perfect. I hope you know that. Holy is a mind that says, you know what, God? I'm going to do the best that I can, the best that I know how, to live according to your word. But when I fail, you're always there to pick me up.
Thank you, Lord.
And wash me and cleanse me when I confess my sin. You see, God doesn't play games with us. But he's there to help us because the flesh is weak. And it will get weak every now and then. It just gets weak. And God knew it. God knew it already. So he's the one that can strengthen us. And all we have to do is just present ourselves a living sacrifice. Say, God, I'm going to do my best to honor you, to love you, to raise up my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to love my wife, for you sisters, to love your husbands, to you singles, love Jesus, because Jesus is your husband right now. Can I get amen? You continue to love God. But see, here's the thing. God didn't leave us without any weapons. God didn't leave us without tools that we can use. To what? To war against the devil and his dominions. The wiles of the devil. And they come like fiery darts. And if you haven't had a fiery dart hit you, keep on living. One's coming right on your forehead. God's people can take their weapons of prayer, fasting, and seeking God to actually bring revival to this world. And you know what? Right now, in the campuses across the nation, because of Charlie Kirk, there are revivals busting out left and right. The two brothers, middle linebacker and defensive end, their last name is Styles, African American. They lead a prayer ministry on the University of Ohio, and they had an outreach, and they won 1,000 people to Christ, and they were baptizing them right there on the field. They had makeshift baptismal pools. That whole team honors Jesus. Even the head coach, Coach Day. My. They honor God. They honor God. They honor the Lord. They're the revival busting out. Hallelujah. And I remember what he said. He said that all this took place because they were all praying and fasting. You want to see miracles in your life? Pray and fast. You want to see revival? Pray and fast. Well, that's right. You want God to use you mightily? Pray and fast. You watch God do what you cannot do on your own. But see, saints, but when we come, when you and I, we become too busy for God, the enemy will render you useless. You know why? When you're too busy, God's going to use the one that says, "Send me, Lord." That one understood Isaiah. Here I am, send me, Lord. Here I am, send me. Is that in your heart? Here I am, Lord, send me. Send me. God is calling his church to pray more than ever before. More than ever before. Why? Because there's power in prayer. Things change in prayer. I've heard it said it like this. This one young guy going through a big trial. It was so big, it overwhelmed him. And so some of the elders got him to pray. And to pray and to keep seeking God. And so he was drenched in prayer. Then he got filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And then hours went by, and that big old giant thing became this big. It became that big. Why? Why did it? Because that big old thing is what the enemy had him worrying about. In actuality, that's how little the situation was going through. He goes, and I was upset over that. I was worried over that. But until he prayed, God had to show him. What did God show him? God had to show him truth to the matter and reveal to him that the enemy is a liar. And there's nothing too hard for God. How many believe there's nothing too hard for God? Thank you, God. We all know this scripture. Some of us can quote it. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will what? Heal their land. Forgive their sin. Oh, forgive their sin and then heal their land. You catch that? If my people who are called by my name. Thank you, God. How many of you can actually say that you've been called by his name? It's all about humbling yourself. Can I get amen? Amen. Number two, check this out. We need to be a people of worship.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Worship. I was so blessed to see all of you come in here early to worship the King. Amen. Listen, worship starts it all off. Did you know worship starts the day? Worship allows you to enter into that place with him. So that for that moment, you have his heart. It's about touching the heart of God. Because when you worship the King, guess what? Nothing else around you matters no more. It's just me and him. Just me and the Lord. And there should be a peace. But see, the world don't understand that. That's why in Romans 12:2, this is what Paul wrote. Look at this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what it is good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. The perfect will. How many of you want to walk in the perfect will? Amen. It's the perfect will of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, look at this. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that's what we did today. In the beauty of holiness. We're just lifting up our hands. And praying. And seeking his face. Thank you, God. You know, Jesus mentioned in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well. Is that one day, we're going to be able to worship him anywhere. Anywhere. In your room, living room, your home, your church, your devotional time. Look at John 4:23 right up here. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. And what is truth? That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one can come to the Father but through him. Thank you, God. You see, saints, we must make Jesus Lord of our life. How many can honestly say he's Lord of your life?
Amen.
Yes. Since we fight for the liberty of worship, especially in our country, we have liberty still. There's other nations that'll kill you. There's parts in Africa right now. They're killing Christians left and right and throwing them in ditches. Did you see that on the news? There was a pastor, an African man, with his Bible on the ground crying out, and there was about 100 dead Christians in a hole. He goes, look what they're doing. He goes, can the world see this? He's calling for help. My goodness. And now we got a communist mayor that wants to do the same thing. Because the book that they read the Quran. And in that Quran, they have scriptures which are called surahs. Okay? So we call our scriptures, our word, scripture. They call their words surahs. There's over 35 references in their book where it says, find the Jew, find the Christian, hide behind a tree, and cut off their heads. They're telling their babies to do that. And now we got a communist Muslim in New York, which the next day they shut down New York and put a bunch, they stopped and started praying to Allah. Help us, God. Help us, God. This is not about equality. This is about a takeover. Because the more they get in there, the more they're going to take away our rights and throw you in prison and start chopping off your head. That's what the Word of God says. See, they couldn't come in with the army, so they attacked us from within. Like a Trojan horse. And this is not about Republican and Democrat. This is about an ungodly, wicked religion that snuck in that way. So they used the process that we have here to get in. Jesus, help us. I just feel like praying. Father, we come against that spirit. We come against that wickedness. We come against that book, the Quran. We know it's satanic. We know what it says in it. And God, you have shown us that it is from Satan. And we bind it right now. And I pray, Lord, for the people that are involved in it. I pray that you save them, God. Lord, turn their hearts. Just like Rabbi told me the other day, the only thing that could save them is the gospel. And so, God, thank you for Rabbi. I believe he's a closet Christian. And so, God, thank you for Rabbi. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. He told me, he called me up. He said, you know what Iran needs? He needs 50,000 evangelists to go over there and change their hearts. I said, amen. Amen. And so, saints, we must take, there's no compromise. We must make Jesus Lord of our lives. Amen. And since we fight for liberty to worship, shouldn't we take the advantage of liberty to have that worship in Him, to praise Him wherever we go? Are you ashamed? Listen, how many are you ashamed to pray or to speak about Jesus in public? Paul said it best. I am not afraid. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. Amen. Honey, do me a favor. Can you turn on the AC, please? Thank you. And when we truly recognize Jesus' kingship, we'll give them our worship. Can I get amen? A person may be worthy of admiration, but Christ alone is worthy of all adoration. Can I get amen? Amen. When we submit to Jesus, our Lordship, we'll give Him our worship. Praise God. Yes. Look at this. Look, I found this old word up here. Worthship, which means showing God the worth He holds in your life. So that's an old English word. That's what they used hundreds of years ago, worthship, which means showing God the worth He holds in our life. Okay, now, we're going to go into another phase, number three. We need to be a people of love. Can I get amen? Oh, yeah, it's easy. It's easy to be angry. It's easy to hate. But can you truly love? Let me ask you this. Can you truly love your enemy? Huh? Can you love someone when they've done you wrong? Can you love someone when they walked out on you? Can you love someone when they slandered your name? Can you still love someone when they punched you in the mouth? Those are tough, aren't they? Look at John 13 right up here. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Did it say hate?
No.
Did it say dislike?
No. Love. Thank you, Lord.
I know sometimes it hurts. Especially when someone says something to you and it just hits you the wrong way. Some hurts are so bad, I'd rather bash my big toe against the coffee table than to hear something from someone that hurt me. Oh, come on. We must give the world a new picture of Jesus, saints. We must let our light shine. And that light is love. Can I get amen?
Amen?
That's why in Matthew it says this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify what? Your Father in heaven. So how can anyone glorify God when they see you talking down your wife at Plaza Bonita Mall? Chewing her out. Thinking I can do it here because nobody knows us here. Lord, help us, God. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You want people to see the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God in your life.
Yes.
You know why? Because they want to see you emulate Christ. Many people won't come to a church. They won't come to a Sunday morning service. They won't come to a Wednesday night. They won't come to a healing room. They won't do none of that. None of what I just mentioned. So the only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life.
Right.
Your life. And so that's the only Jesus they're ever going to see. And once they've seen that, man, that person's for real, then they're going to want what you have. Because their life is not working. And God will get the glory. Listen to this story right here. In the French Revolution, a young man was condemned to the guillotine and shut up in one of the prisons. He was greatly loved by many, but there was someone who loved him more than all the others put together. That one was his father, and the love he bore his son was proved in this way. When the lists were called, the father, whose name was exactly the same as the son's, answered to the name, and the father rode in the gloomy tumbril out to the place of execution, and his head rolled beneath the axe instead of his son's, a victim to mighty love. Now that's unconditional love, huh? He had the same name as his son. So he probably came to a place, I've lived my life and I need my son to live longer, to live a long life like I did. And he did it because he loved his son. Just imagine what Jesus did for us. What did he do for you? He went to the cross. And what did he tell us? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did you know that you and I put Jesus on the cross? Our sins did. Every one of us. And so we need to be a prophetic people. What do I mean by prophetic? I'm not saying that you have to be like Dennis Rainier. No. A prophetic people is someone that prophesies. What does that mean? That means proclaim. That means telling people about Jesus. Did you know when you tell someone about Jesus, that Jesus loves them and can save them, you are prophesying the word of God, because it's a prophetic connotation. We need to be a people of prophetic influence, a prophetic people. Look what Jesus wrote here. Matthew wrote it on Jesus' behalf. Look at this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under foot by men. Look at this. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. That's the key. People need to see God to glorify our Father in heaven. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I've had a lady come up to me when I was working at one of the real estate offices. And she came in, she goes, there's something different about you. I said, what's so different? Because all the people in here cuss. I said, oh. I said, God delivered me from that. Oh, she goes, you're a believer. I said, yes, I am. She goes, that's why. I see the difference now. She's been observing people. You know why? Because God was wooing her. Wooing her to himself. And she took a mental note. She went, oh, okay. And then I just shared a little bit more and that was it. But I told her that Jesus is the only one that can save. He's the only one that can heal. He's the only one that can deliver. He's the only one that can lift you up. He's the only one that can sanctify you, set you apart. So when I shared those things, she goes, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And then she left. She was just someone leaving a card in there, because we, in a real estate office, you get a whole bunch of people from title companies, escrow companies, people that do home warranties, you name it. They come in there and they're soliciting for, for services. And she worked for a title company. But I just shared the truth with her. And when she left, I prayed for her. I said, God, be glorified, be magnified. It was you that caused me, that has been causing me to live this life now. And so, Lord, let my life count wherever I go. And he has. And he's been doing that with you. I know he has. Thank you, God. Continue to be a light for someone. Amen. We must position ourselves to be a prophetic voice to this generation. We may not know the future, but we know who holds the future. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number five, we need to be a people of faith. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. So saints, we must walk in faith where no one else has walked. Have you been there? Have you been to a place? Have you walked in a place where no one else has walked there but you? Many times I've seen God with me. Never walked there before, and he was with me. My goodness. What a mighty God we serve. Look at James 2:14 says, we must walk in faith where there is no one else has walked. In James 2:14, what does it profit? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute or daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it is does not have works, is dead. I remember hearing my pastor long years ago. He goes, how many of you are looking for a job? And so hands went up. And this is what he said. What are you doing about it? And one answered this, and everyone was rolling. I'm sitting right by my phone. I'm believing God. And I remember what Pastor Leo said. He said, have you done the practical thing yet? I go, what's that? Have you went and applied anywhere? Have you got up and applied and actually submitted your application and then come back and wait for the phone call? He goes, no, I'm believing God. Oh, so God out of osmosis is going to give you a call. See, it's exactly what James just said right up here. Faith without works is dead. You got to go there and apply. Let them know, hey, you know what? I'm available. I'll work 10 hours, 12 hours. You need me. I'm your guy. Now go home and pray and say, God, I need favor now, God. Open that door for me, God. Start believing God. Can I get amen? Amen. Now God will work on your behalf. He'll speak to the lady or the man. You'll get a call. And when he does, you glorify him. Say, thank you, God. I did my part. You did yours, Jesus. You know, it's a partnership. I hope you know that. Faith is an area where growing up means we must become more like a child. Believe God. Faith is the vitamin that makes all that we take from the Bible digestible and makes us able to receive it and assimilate it. If we do not have faith, we cannot get anything from God. Nothing. I got scripture to show you right up here. Look at this. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. Thank you, God. We got two more to break down. Are you getting something out of this? Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. Number six, a people of holiness. Holiness. That's right. You know, every other week, maybe once a month, it's either next door or the people on the hill that we can see their backyard from our garage. They're having some loud parties. These guys can make my pictures on the wall vibrate. I mean, and they playing everything from Mexican music to rap to this to that, a genre of everything, but loud. They're just loud. Yeah. And me and Yolanda, we look at each other. Yeah, we could easily call the cops and tell them to shut it down. But we looked at each other and said, you know what? That was us before. That was us. I want them to know, you know what? We're praying for you.
Amen.
Yeah, and I told him that many times. We're praying for you, G. His name is G. He has the same name as my brother Gerardo next door. Yeah, I call him G. I said, G, we're praying for you, man. He goes, you still have church? I go, yeah. You're invited, man. He goes, is my music too loud? I go, man, I used to blast like you, man. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just, you know what? The only way I'm going to call if there's some shooting. Because I don't know bullets straying in here.
Amen.
You know, but have at it. And you know what? He saw me in a different light. He saw me like, man, he's not one of those neighbors that will squeal on me right away. I go, no. Oh, yeah, the other side has given them all kinds of grief. But look at this. In Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people. See, I was pursuing peace with him. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Ooh. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. You know what that means? It has nothing to do with salvation. You won't see the things of God if you don't allow God to separate you. Can I get amen? We need to learn to discipline our walk with Christ by faith. By faith. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let me pause right there. What is that one particular sin in your life that causes you to be snared? In other words, it traps you. You tried shaking it off. You tried, man, I want to be done with it. It could be anything. Anything. Every one of us has that one thing. Why? Because we still live in a sinful body. We haven't been delivered with a new body. But that's why he says, let us lay aside every weight and sin, which is so easily what? Ensnares us. It traps you. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What is before us? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Saints, let me ask you this. Listen, if you're not wrestling, if you're not fighting, that means you have given up. Every one of us daily are going to fight against some type of sin. And we need each other. We need each other to pray for one another. There are times I come to my wife, I go, honey, pray for me. This wicked thing keeps rising up. Old sin keeps rising up. I need your prayers, honey. And she prays for me. She prays for me. And it could be a lot of things. But when you start praying, you start seeking God, then all of a sudden God starts to empower you. God starts to strengthen you. God starts to put a shield around your heart. And then he allows you to be an overcomer of it. Will it come back again? Yes. Sin is relentless. As long as Satan is still here, sin will still be here. Until he's done away with. Until we get the new body. We're going to be dealing. Because this flesh is not immune to the sinful things that God says that are sinful. But we have Jesus. So, this is why Paul, he was a great example. He learned how to strive for holiness. And this is what he had a made up mind to do. We can get to this place, but how soon we get there determines on how much you want to get there. I can't get you there. You can't get me there. But God could get you there. Get you where, Pastor Fee? Right here. Look at Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, turn to your neighbor and say, you are the elect of God. So now, what does he tell the elect? What is God telling to the elect? Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. You have to have patience, folks. I know there's some that gets on your last inch. There's people in your life, you know, it don't take much to take you on the other end. Look at this, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you so also must do. What? I think one of the most courageous thing I've seen lately is when Erica forgave the assassinator. She told the world. She goes, I forgive the man that assassinated my husband. And there was 100,000 people in that arena. And they're all literally in tears. It's moving because she did it because God said, you have to do this. It's in God's word. It wasn't something she made up. She's following what God's word says. If you truly forgive like he has forgiven us, we have to forgive one another, even when they take someone's life that you love. Erica Kirk was something else. Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Look at this. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be what? Thankful. Thankful. And I close with this. I believe this is the final. Yes. Close with this point. We need to be a people of mercy and forgiveness. Mercy. Mercy. There's people in your life right now, I really believe, that needs mercy from you. I'm praying that the Spirit of God is speaking to some of you right now, where you can have the heart of God and to show these people in your life true mercy. In Luke 23, look at what it reads. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. Every one of us deserve to take that place. In Titus 3:4, look at this. But when the kindness and the love of God our Father, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy. He saved us. It was God's mercy that saved you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God saved you by his mercy. None of us deserved this salvation. None of us earned it. None of us could boast about it. None of us. But according to his mercy, he saved us. And how did he save us? Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's how God looks at this condition of our own hearts, and which is pride in itself. God is showing us pride in this next scripture here. Look at this in Mark 11. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass.
Whoa.
Wow. Jesus, help us. Hey, when I talked about that, he saved us by his mercy, did I have that scripture up there? Can you recall? Okay. Titus. Was it up there? It wasn't, huh? Okay. Let's look at it right here. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which he hath done, but according to his what?
Mercy.
He saved us.
Mercy.
Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So once again, it was his mercy. Amen?
Yes.
Sometimes I may pass up a scripture. Sorry. But I had to come back to it. All right. And we're looking at one last scripture here. We are commanded and compelled to forgive a brother or a sister, especially those of the same faith, over and over again. And how many times is over and over again?
70 times 7 weeks.
Sister knows her word back there. Huh? It's right up here. Matthew 18, 20, 21, 22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. You know what that means in a nutshell? There's no one that can sin against you that much in one day. It's impossible. But that's how many times you got to forgive them. Wow. So in other words, it's endless. You got to forgive them. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the saints that pressed out this morning. I thank and praise God for those who are on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe, just maybe, you've never entered into the joy of the Lord. You've never had an opportunity to let your light shine so bright before men. Maybe, just maybe, God's been calling you, speaking to you. Maybe people has come to you and witnessed to you and have been telling you about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, has been telling you about Jesus. Here is your opportunity now. I'm going to ask Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God can save you like he saved us and give you the most incredible life, the abundant life in Christ, and more so, eternal life through Christ Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask that you would bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is He worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the